Again, thank you to each one who has come here this evening. And maybe you aren't so happy to see two Rainers, but we are happy to see you. So glad you could be here. We're going to read in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, but before we do read, I was just thinking of this, we speak a lot about sin, and sometimes we just don't stop and think, okay, what are the words that we're using mean? Maybe the word sin is not as common now. We're in the Willows and this evening, and Justice was there. I'm not picking on Justice, but one of the words we were singing was a word that we don't use a lot, and it was glory, laud, and honor. And I asked a number of these people, or my senior, I said, what does the word laud mean? And Justice, being honest, he said, I was wondering the same thing. And so sometimes we use words and we assume that everybody knows what it means. So what does sin mean? We use it, and sometimes we just don't define it. Well, when Steve McCandless was here a few weeks ago, he spoke on Monday night with the youth group, and he had a great illustration. So if you go back to where the word originated from in the Greek and in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, but that's how far back it goes. And what Steve did that night, he came in and he hit a target right over there, like a bow and arrow and a target. And he had the target there, and he had a bow and arrow, and we were wondering, yeah, is he going to let an arrow go through the wall? But he didn't do that, but he said, you know what sin is? He said, they would have the games, and he said, where would we aim? And he said, we would aim right for the bullseye. And he said, if it missed the bullseye, they would yell out, sin! And if you let it go again and maybe you got closer, but you didn't hit the bullseye, they would yell, sin! And maybe it would miss the target altogether, and it was sin! And so the idea, and I thought that is a great illustration, the idea of sin is that we are missing the mark. What mark? We are missing God's bullseye, God's standard. So really, sin is when we are actually missing God's perfect standard. That's what sin is. So maybe there's a little bit of a change. If we're shooting in the target, we keep track of the score when we hit. Reminds me when David and I were quite young, we used to play crokinole. I never realized the crokinole only went to 125. The only way I could get a point is if maybe somewhere when David extended the score up to 500, I might get a few points. I was terrible. I can hold my own now, but when it comes to sin, we forget. We count the times that maybe we think we do all right. But you know what? God, as a righteous, holy God, He knows when we've gone astray. You know what? How you and I treat God? We treat God like I do when I'm meeting the police on the way to work in the morning. I know that I'm not doing 90 kilometers an hour, what the speed limit is, and I just sort of ignore him, and I might look him out of the corner of his eye and see what he's doing. And then I'll check the rearview mirror and say, whew, he didn't see me. And we treat God the same way. Well, it can't be that important. Yes, It is important. So what is sin? It's whenever you and I, we miss God's mark, and we miss it all the time. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, all have missed the mark, and come short of God's glory." So, why is it so important that we understand what sin is? Because to God, when we fall short, when we miss His target, He is not like the police officer who maybe, I've seen them looking at the radar. I think that's what they're looking at. And they said, no, let him go. God can't do that because He is righteous and He is holy. Acts chapter 13. Now this, thinking of an expression, I've been thinking of it all afternoon. Acts chapter 13, verse number 38. And Paul is preaching, and he is talking about the Lord Jesus. How important is the Lord Jesus? He is the central figure of this Bible. Over and over. Well, Paul is preaching, and he's talking about Jesus, and here's what he says, Acts 13, verse number 38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." So I'm actually thinking of the word, this man. So here we have, "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified or made right from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So this man, if you were here today for Sunday school, we were talking about this man receives sinners. That was what the religious leaders said about the Lord Jesus, and they used it in a negative way. They were saying, who is this Jesus? He is a man who receives sinners, and he even eats with them. Here Paul says, he says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse number 40. This is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know, remember the story, the Pharisees, or the religious leaders, it wasn't just the Pharisees, in their jealousy, in their envy, and their hatred of the Lord Jesus, they delivered him to Pilate. They wanted him to be put to death. And I actually have it wrote down here somewhere. Pilate actually says, this man, the same person, the Lord Jesus, this man has done nothing wrong. I find in him no fault. Pilate looks at the Lord Jesus. He interrogates him. He scourges him. He has him whipped. And he comes out to him and he says, I don't find in this man any fault. There's no reason he should die. And the people said, crucify him. So then Pilate, he tries something else. There is another man. And this man is a wicked man. He was there for murder and for creating a riot. And he says, would you sooner Jesus or Barabbas? Pilate thought they are going to pick Jesus because Jesus really is a good man. I've heard stories about him. And Jesus is a good man. And so that's the background. John chapter 18, verse 40. 38-39, Pilate offers Jesus instead of Barabbas. They all cried again, verse 40, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Not this man, but Barabbas. Our last verse is in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse number 31. Now we'll pick up at verse 30, and Paul is preaching again. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, he overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Now the word has changed here a little bit, but it's still the same idea. By that man, by this man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. So this man. Have you ever thought of who this man is? Who this person is? Who is this person that we are talking about? This man that we have read, is through him is preached the forgiveness of sins. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is the central theme of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, where Dean has read, there is a promise made that there is one who is going to come. The seed of the woman will come into this earth. And from the beginning, individuals were looking for the one God said he was going to send. And finally, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus came onto the scene of earth. The Lord Jesus was born as a baby. And God's greatest gift was born as a baby into this earth. And so the Lord Jesus, we can read different stories about him. If you want to read in the early part of Luke and some of the early parts of the other books, you'll see, learn a few little things about the Lord Jesus. And he grew up, but most of the New Testament is taken up when the Lord Jesus began what we would call his public ministry. And about the age of 30, he started to move around the land of Israel. And people started to take notice. Who is this man? If you want to take your phone and just do a quick search in your Bible app, you'll see this man, the phrase comes up over and over about 70 times. And most of them, not all of them, but most of them refer to the Lord Jesus. We were talking about the religious leaders. You know what they said about him? This man is a sinner. He actually heals people on the Saturday. Well, the Lord Jesus proved to them how ridiculous their claim was. They looked at this man Jesus, and they tried to belittle what he had done. When he taught from the scripture, the common people, they heard him. One day they said, there was actually some men sent from the religious leaders to take the Lord Jesus one day, and they said, "Never a man spake like this man." And then, if you were here today, we're speaking with the kids, this man receives sinners. You know, it must have been something for the Lord Jesus to move. And there were those in society who the ordinary person, they wouldn't associate with them because they were sinners. It was very obvious by their lifestyle that they weren't doing what was right. And the Lord Jesus moved to those people to bring them the gospel. Because you see, the Lord Jesus, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save those who had missed the mark, those who had sinned. Mentioned that Pilate, as the Lord Jesus' time here on earth was coming to an end, he said, I don't find any fault in this man. And then a little while later, it's not Pilate, but it is another man on the cross. He is watching everything, and at one point he was involved in mocking the Lord Jesus, and he himself was nailed on a cross. And then it strikes him. This man is not an ordinary man. And when his counterpart over on the other cross is mocking the Lord Jesus, he says, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about this. We are deserving death. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. Well, a few years later, Paul is preaching. And he is presenting the message to the people. He says, listen, I am presenting a message to you, and it is about this man, Jesus. And through him is preached the forgiveness of sins. Remember those sins that we were talking about when the arrow would miss the mark? And the ones that things that we want to forget about, God cannot forget about. You and I have sins, and they need to be forgiven. Paul says, I am preaching to you that there is forgiveness of sins. That weight, that record of sin that is against you, Paul says, there is a way that can be taken away. There is a way that can be forgiven. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how would that happen? How could the Lord Jesus forgive sins? In fact, there was one day, you remember the story, I might have actually preached on it the last time I spoke, one of the last times, about the man who came in. His friends carried him in, and they let him down through the roof. And Jesus says to them that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. How can the Lord Jesus forgive sins? Because he himself paid the price of sin. You know what happened when the Lord Jesus was on the cross? You know why he was there nailed? It was more than the fact that the Jewish leaders hated him. It was more than that. They said, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, God does hold the world guilty for the death of his son. But you know what God was doing in those hours? God was providing the only way that your sins and my sins could be taken away. Because when the Lord Jesus died, he was the only one who was perfect. He was the only one that nobody could say, sin! He missed the mark! Not once. And because he is the just one, because he is the only one who could not sin, he is the only one who never sinned, he is the one that God gave. Dean used the word propitiation. That really means the Lord Jesus was the one that God was satisfied with when he made an offering. You know, when it comes to the Old Testament, the word really does mean propitiation, but do you know in the Old Testament when the animal, maybe you think, if I was in the Old Testament, it'd be easy because I would just get a lamb and I could take it, it would be killed, and I know that my sins could be taken away. Do you know what? God was never satisfied with the death of an animal. The only reason God could say, I will let your sins are covered again for another year. You know why? Because God was looking ahead to the day when the only one who could truly take away sin, when he would die. So even in the Old Testament, God was looking at the animals and he was saying, the one who is really going to satisfy, I am looking for the Lord Jesus to come. And God sent his son to die on the cross. Through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. Maybe tonight you are like the people in John chapter 18 and maybe you think, well, that way is too simple. There's got to be another way. Surely there'd be nobody in here, and you're like the crowd, and you say, no, not this man. Maybe you say, no, I would never do that. But I wonder if maybe here you're here tonight. You've heard the gospel. Maybe you know the gospel well. And you know that what we are trying to preach is true. But you say, well, yes, I know. I should be saved. I need to be saved. But not tonight. Not this man tonight. You know the crowd, they said, we don't want this man. Not this man. There is no other salvation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, there is a world out there and they reject God, his salvation. But when you listen to the gospel, maybe even understand, yes, I can see how I'm a sinner, and yet you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What do these people say? Not this man. But there's another one, the last place we read. And this really is a solemn one. Because tonight the Lord Jesus, he is presented, it is this man, and through him is preached the forgiveness of sins. But there is another day. And it's not a day of opportunity for the forgiveness of sins, but it's a day of judgment. When the Lord Jesus, not now as the one who can forgive sins, but he is the one who is going to be the judge of sin. And it says that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, by this man, whom he has ordained. You know, there is a day coming for every person who neglects the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a day coming, you can see it in Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne. And there is one of those, I think it's chapter 21, there is a list of those who have rejected God's salvation. And Revelation chapter 20 tells us that the dead, both small and great, stand before this tremendous throne judgment. And the one who is available as the Savior of sinners is now the one who is the judge. It says that those who stand before him were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. See, it's not a light thing to neglect God's salvation. Tonight, the Lord Jesus, he is available as the one who can forgive your sins. But for those who reject him, he won't be a savior, but he will be the judge. You know, he is the one who's went into death. He is the one who has paid for sin. God has ordained him. He has set him apart to be the judge for sin. As we close tonight, think about him, this man. I don't want you to leave thinking, well, maybe it wouldn't hurt. If you neglect him as your Savior, you will face him as your judge. But what I leave you with tonight is what we have read in Acts chapter 13. Listen to Paul's words. Through this man is preached unto you, is declared to you, it's told out to you, the forgiveness of sins. You might have come in here in your sins, guilty before God, having missed the target. And more than once, mind you, you could have come in here a guilty sinner, and you could leave tonight. My sins are forgiven because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. What was the verse that Dean said? For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The one who had sinned, the one who had missed the mark. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Trust him tonight in your guilt, in your sin, and have the forgiveness of sins. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he has come into this world. He has laid down his life, the just for the unjust, the one who was not guilty for the guilty one. So we thank thee for everyone here who is saved, for those who are not saved, that even tonight they would consider this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept him as Savior. So take us home safely, I would ask, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.